From WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. What is it like to have a brother or sister with a disability? How can the stress of helping them navigate challenges affect their neurotypical siblings? Carolyn Chen of the Maryland Developmental Disabilities Council tells us about a conference this Saturday that offers a place for siblings to share their experiences.
There would be no one else who would understand how you grew up or the challenges or the joys that you've gone through except for another sibling. No parent, no cousin, but only someone else who grew up side by side with a brother or sister with a developmental disability.
Carolyn and her sister Jennifer tell how their relationship has changed over time. And Walter Susskind, founder of the group Sib Strong, and his autistic brother Owen talk about breaking through the isolation. It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. For children with developmental disabilities and their families, the day never has enough hours. Calendars may be filled with doctor appointments and crosstown visits to therapists. Emergency room visits and battles over social services can become part of an upsetting routine. These stresses can trickle down to brothers and sisters who don't have a disability. It can be challenging to advocate for their sibling with a disability while also craving more time with mom or dad, or feeling their own problems would be an extra burden on the family. Where can these kids find support? How can parents be aware of the pressures on their non-disabled children? This Saturday, the Maryland and District of Columbia Developmental Disabilities Councils will host SIBS 2019, a conference for the siblings and parents of those with special needs. The conference will take place at the hotel at Arundel Preserve. To tell us about the conference and her experience growing up with a sister who has a developmental disability, we're joined by Carolyn Chen, who is Sibling Support Coordinator for the Maryland Developmental Disabilities Council. Thanks for being with us.
It's really great to be here.
The shorthand that people in this field use is sibling. What do you mean when you say sibling?
When we say sibling, it means the other child. The child that doesn't have the developmental disability, meaning the technical term neurotypical child. We're kind of the forgotten kid in the family.
The Maryland Developmental Disabilities Council is a federally funded independent agency within the Maryland Department of Disabilities. What does the council work to do?
The council advocates for not just legislative change, but also change within the community to provide services for people with developmental disabilities. They got into supporting siblings of people with developmental disabilities because we found out that that's the longest lasting relationship that anybody has is between them and their sibling, not them and their parents or them and their children, but between your brother or your sister. So it turned out that when you're advocating for a person with disabilities, you end up bringing in siblings who help throughout the lifespan.
So the idea started with the question of what the neurotypical siblings, the siblings without disabilities, could do for their brothers and sisters with special needs. That was the germ of the idea.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that played out how? What was the first effort?
It was a focus group of different siblings of people with disabilities in the Maryland area to just for the first time talk about what are the particular challenges or needs or common themes among the siblings versus the parent. A lot of disability service organizations focus on, of course, the child with the disability, but then secondary, the parent.
And then what happened?
And then in 2014, that focus group decided that as an action out of that, that siblings needed to meet each other. And so the Maryland Developmental Disabilities Council decided that they would sponsor the first statewide conference for siblings of people with disabilities.
What was the response to that conference?
although it was difficult to find everybody, once you reached out, it just spread like wildfire. We had 221 registrations for the conference. We created an email list of over, 800 siblings and sibling supporters from nothing, just from word of mouth and outreach and social media and going to events. It turned out that it was not as hard as we thought to find siblings. There's a lot of them.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Carolyn Chen, the Sibling Support Coordinator for the Maryland Developmental Disabilities Council. We're talking about a conference this coming Saturday that aims to support the brothers and sisters of those with special needs. That was the first conference. How has the one that you're offering on Saturday changed in response to the feedback you got?
Absolutely. The first conference was in October of 2015, and we structured it as a traditional conference. So there was a lot of content, a lot of speakers, educational content, things that siblings would need to know as we get older of how to take care of our brother or sister, either legally or financially. We were very focused on education. 4 years later, from the feedback of the conference and also just being a sibling myself and organizing that, we realized that the impact of the conference isn't so much on the content, but more about just seeing and meeting everybody who is also a sibling, no matter what that word sibling means and no matter what specific disability that our brother or sister may have. Our goal is to have everybody at the conference meet every single other sibling in the conference. And that in itself, through feedback, is the most impactful and rewarding part of the experience, not so much of the technical knowledge.
A few minutes ago, you mentioned challenges mm-hmm. of siblings. How would you summarize those for someone who has not experienced it?
I would say the biggest challenge is that you feel a need to prove yourself or to be perfect. There's an underlying sense of guilt when you're growing up. The second that you can remember that your brother or sister is different. And so there's this idea that you didn't deserve anything different than your brother or sister and how you came out. So there's an underlying fear of, I need to do more for the world. I need to overcompensate for being able to have a normal life because my brother and sister or sister does not.
So that's the biggest one.
I would say that's the biggest one.
And what else?
The second would be the understanding of the responsibility that's going to come in the later part of your life or even earlier, depending on your family situation or your particular disability that you're working with. You might need to take responsibility of the, healthcare or the caregiving or the financial or legal requirements or obligations of taking care of your sibling much earlier than you would think. And then that can sometimes feel like a burden, or more accurately, your parents feel like it's going to be a burden. So they do everything in the power to kind of leave you out of it. And then you might be more confused when knowing that 10 years or 15 years from now, you're going to have to take care of them anyways, So I'd say that's the biggest challenge of trying to navigate that over, decades.
Your sister Jennifer has come with you to WIPR today. Why don't we pull her into this conversation?
Yeah.
Jennifer, thanks for joining us. You're a couple years
old. Glad to be here.
I'm glad you are here. You're a couple years older than Carolyn, right?
Yep.
Tell me about yourself.
Well, my name is Jennifer, and right now I'm working at Safeway.
Uh-huh. Doing what?
Carts, bagging, straightening. That means making sure the shelves are neat. And facing, that means putting the stuff to the front so the customers are able to reach it, so they don't have to go get it from all the, because sometimes it's all the way in the back. And answering their questions. There's a lot of those.
Tell me about your disability.
Just a regular learning disability.
What was your relationship with Carolyn like when you were growing up?
We had our arguments, but the relationship is getting better.
What were the arguments about when you had them?
What kind of job I can do? Same thing as with my parents, because they don't want me doing retail. You know, those kind of things, those kind of arguments. But other than that, really close with her and my parents and my brother.
Carolyn, you moved home for a few years to take a bigger role in coordinating Jennifer's health care. Mm-hmm. Why did you make that move?
There was a certain point where I was helping my parents with trying to navigate the system or different services for my sister, that it had been, you know, 20 years had passed that my parents had been taking care of my sister, and the system had changed. And they couldn't keep up with all the new regulations or rules or funding sources or different programs that my sister would be eligible for. And so it became a necessity for me to come back and to sift through all of the files that my father actually had. He gave me a big box when I came home and said, "This is it. Everything that you need to know." So I think what was important looking back was that, you know, I didn't have any background. We didn't talk anything about how to take care of my sister or what program she should be in. And so it really was a research from the beginning of, you know, her history through different programs and different services that she's needed, different funding sources, different activities. So it ended up being kind of this own personal project for 3 years when I moved back, so that we could get her into stable employment, better mental health, better medical health, all of that. And we didn't think it would take that long, but it needed to. 3 or 4 years in order to get everything back on track.
Moving home, Carolyn, did that delay other choices you might have made for yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. I really committed to focusing on getting my sister and my parents settled in terms of their healthcare, medical care, finances, and that meant delaying, you know, being married, having my own family, buying a house that wasn't close to my parents. So that also was probably 6 years until I felt like everything came together and we were in a place that we could all function without need crisis. So because of that, I think when I talk to other siblings, especially women, when I started out in my 30s doing this, that we all do the same thing. We all delayed. We all had second thoughts about having children if there was already caregiving responsibility for our aging parents as well as our brother or sister. So I think that's helped me knowing that it wasn't just me. You know, it's a very common theme among 20s and 30-year-olds to be a little more thoughtful about if entering into and creating another family if your own family is not intact first.
Jennifer, how would you describe your relationship with Carolyn now?
Well, last time me and her used to have arguments and fights, but now instead of yelling at each other or me yelling at her, I calmly tell her how I feel, like I do with my parents.
Carolyn, what lessons have you learned from Jennifer?
The biggest lesson is, I'm going to try to say this without crying, is that...
Don't make me cry.
there's no limit to what anyone can do. No limit. You give someone enough time and you give them enough information, they can accomplish anything. And that's something I did not grow up thinking. I was completely wrong about any expectation that I had from my sister. Completely wrong. Both of my parents well believed that we completely underestimated her ability to thrive in life. In the beginning, teachers and counselors were saying that she wasn't, you know, never going to graduate, never work, and never have full conversations without blow-ups, and they're wrong. But I would say we didn't start out that way. There's a lot of stigma, especially in the Asian community, about having anything wrong with you, let alone, you know, having an intellectual disability. So she's proven us wrong, showed us that we did not expect enough out of her. And so because of that, and because of her, I feel the same way about anybody that I meet, anybody that I work with, is that if you give somebody 100 chances, you'll get it. And I think once we figured out there's a different timeline to life, the stress and the judgment goes away. And so there's nothing that she can't do. And I'm telling you, we really underestimated Jennifer and underestimated how our family can actually interact together more cohesively about it.
Boy, that's an important lesson for all of us. Thank you for that. Jennifer, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
Carolyn Chen, the sibling coordinator for the Maryland Developmental Disabilities Council, is going to stick with us. When we're back, we'll hear from another pair of siblings and talk more about SIBS 2019 conference on Saturday. I'm Sheila Kast. Stay tuned.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Kast. We're talking this morning about siblings, not just any siblings, people whose brothers or sisters are growing up with special needs, a developmental or other disability. Carolyn Chen is such a sibling, and she is sibling support coordinator for the Maryland Developmental Disabilities Council. Along with the D.C. Council, it's hosting a conference on Saturday in Hanover near the airport called SIBS 2019 for siblings and parents. Walter Susskind will be one of the keynote speakers at Saturday's conference, and he joins us on the line from Washington, D.C. Welcome to the show, Walter.
Thank you so much for having me on.
And his brother, Owen, joins us on the line from Cape Cod. Welcome, Owen.
Thank you.
Owen, you were at the center of a documentary that came out 2 years ago called Life Animated. Tell us about this film.
It is a documentary, award-winning documentary film about me when I was little, growing up to now, of my journey through autism by using fun movies, especially animated and especially Disney and Disney Pixar, to help me.
How did Disney help you?
When I was 3, I couldn't talk at all, but by watching the Disney animated classic films, it helped me get my speech back.
Walter, what do you remember about the challenges Owen faced with communication?
Like Owen said, it was about 3 years old when he stopped talking right at around the time we moved to D.C. And for 4 or 5 years, there was really, Owen had very little speech. But what we did have, and what especially as brothers we shared, was we loved Disney movies. And my parents and I really saw that Owen could deeply connect with these movies, with the characters on the screen and what they were saying. And over time, you know, it'd be a bonding thing for us to be watching these movies and sharing them together. And over time, though, we came to learn that, you know, Owen was using the movies to learn communication and learn, you know, taking cues and lessons from the characters. So as a family, we really started to bring these movies into our house, into our everyday life, to live the characters and bring the movies to life for Owen. And we really, in some ways, you know, use the movies as a vehicle to help communicate. And, you know, as you hear Owen now, and, you know, he's grown incredibly and he's an, you know, amazing young man living on his own. But Owen, what would you say? I think we still use Disney movies to, you know, talk about lessons and what's important.
Yeah.
So, you know,
exactly.
We definitely, a great tool for us.
Yep, a great tool for us indeed.
Walter, when did you first have some opportunity to connect with other siblings in other families?
Growing up, I could count the number of siblings I knew, you know, and knew well on one hand, you know, maybe 4 or 5 siblings. But it wasn't until after the documentary came out and I started just hearing from tons of siblings on Facebook, over email, at events, saying, you know, I really connected with what you were saying, when I went from knowing, you know, 5, 6 siblings to knowing hundreds of siblings. And, you know, just it made me, the whole process made me realize how many of us there are out there, and we're all walking very similar paths.
And you founded a group called Sib Strong that supports young people who have siblings with autism spectrum disorder and other developmental disabilities. Tell us about Sib Strong.
It's really kind of getting off the ground now, starting in the D.C. area. For adults, it's getting together at, you know, regular intervals where we can check in, connect, form community, discuss the issues that face us, the issues of future planning, of family dynamics that are maybe unique to siblings. But then for the younger siblings, we're running a pilot program right now, and it's an in-school program, and the idea is, growing up every day when I was younger, there were certainly kids around me in my elementary school that were brothers and sisters, people with autism and other disabilities, but I didn't know they were out there. And especially at that early point when you really feel like you're the only one in the world, it would be really important to be able to turn and say, okay, there are other siblings out here like me. So it's the idea of getting them together and then having older siblings come in and provide that perspective and being able to connect and talk with their 9-year-old self and say, I'm up the road here, but I understand, you know, the circumstances and, you know, some of the experiences that are unique to you. And so it's really about bridging different generations of siblings together through the school program. And so we're really excited and, you know, hope to carry it forward in the D.C., Maryland area in the coming years.
Owen, what do you think? What do you think you have to share with people?
Well, to help their siblings learn new things, and especially from what they love and treasure.
And Bud, what do people maybe not know about you that you have, you know, what's special about you that you would like more people in the world to know?
That I am autistic, and I love my favorite passions, and I interact with autistic people and neurotypical people.
That's a good point that some of us probably don't give you credit for. That's a real skill.
It is a real skill.
Owen, thanks very much.
Okay, thanks.
This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Walter Susskind, who will be one of the keynote speakers at SIBS 2019, a conference hosted by the Maryland and D.C. Developmental Disabilities Councils. And also with us is Carolyn Chen, the Sibling Support Coordinator for the Maryland Council. Carolyn, one of the goals of the conference is to provide a space for people to realize they're not alone. How important is that?
Growing up, you can't figure out who is an actual sibling. There's no label, there's no t-shirt that you wear. So having a space where you're focusing on the sibling, not the sibling of special needs, but just the sibling, is pretty powerful, because it's, you don't know that that's a label and that's a category, and you have your own life experience that is common to everyone else. And so just being able to physically see that there's so many siblings, and then being able to share your story in a space where people know exactly what you're saying before you're even saying it is pretty cool.
Walter, what do you hope that people who attend SIBS 2019 will take away from it?
There are so many of us out there, and we're all at different stages. Some of us are taking much larger responsibilities in a very short time frame. Some of us are just starting out, but no matter what our ages or experiences are, there's people with similar circumstances around you, and that we're stronger together. Siblings are out there and waiting for you, and they're here to welcome you in, because I think for a lot of us, especially growing up, you know, you didn't feel that welcome place, a place, oh, I can go, and that's where other siblings who are going to understand these very unique circumstances are going to be. So knowing that there's this hub of siblings, of like-minded, of similar people that you can go to, I think will be a really important takeaway for anyone that comes to the conference.
Carolyn, what's your highest hope?
My highest hope is that for people who are siblings of people with special needs to literally take one day to just think about themselves. Not to think about what they have to do for their sibling with special needs, not to think about what they have to do for their parents. My hope is that once you walk in the door and you see 200 other people that really get what you're going through, you probably don't even have to say anything and you'll probably be in tears already.
Well, I'm grateful to you both for helping the rest of us understand it. Thank you. Thanks
you're
a
welcome.
Lot.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Walter Susskind is founder of SibStrong, a group that offers resources and support to siblings of individuals living with special needs. He'll be speaking at the SIBS 2019 conference this Saturday. It will run from 8:30 to 5:30 Saturday at the Hotel at Arundel Preserve in Hanover. Carolyn Chen is the Sibling Support Coordinator for the Maryland Developmental Disabilities Council. We also heard from their siblings, Owen and Jennifer. At the On the Record page at WIPR.org, we have links to registration information for the conference, as well as other resources. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Glad you've been listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.